May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Then answered Peter and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. A tabernacle is a small, hastily erected, portable hut. It can have walls of any material, but the roof must be organic, often broad leaves or palms. Farmers lived in tabernacles during the harvest, and the Jews lived in tabernacles when they were in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land. The Jews celebrate a feast of tabernacles, Sukkot, which reminds them that God preserves us in fragile times. It's celebrated in October, harvest time. The Jews, during their time in the wilderness, also carried with them a far more elaborate tabernacle. They erected this tabernacle when they camped. They called it the Tabernacle of the Congregation. They placed its door close to the pillar of smoke that had been leading them. It was an especially holy place where they put the Ark of the Covenant, the gold-covered wooden box that contained the two stone tablets on which God had written his Ten Commandments. It was God's dwelling place while they were on the road. Whenever they prayed, they would turn to face the tabernacle of the congregation, and they believed that they were facing God himself. So, a tabernacle was something that could be erected anywhere and by someone with no specific skills. It could even be erected by a Peter. And Peter was a fisherman, not a stonemason. He was probably practical in a general sense. He may even have built tabernacles before, using stones and branches. He wasn't suggesting that he would build anything elaborate. Certainly nothing to compare with the tabernacle of the congregation. But he knew that his ancestors in the wilderness had been instructed to provide a tabernacle for God to dwell in, and he wanted to do no less for Moses and for Elijah and for Jesus here on Mount Hermon. I'm quite sure that Peter believed on this day that he had been a witness to something the like of which he would never see again. If I had been Peter, I would have been saying to myself, so this is what the last 3 years have been about. The day by the lake, when he first called me to be a follower. The times when I've been enthralled by his teaching. The times that he's made me so ashamed of my temper. the miracles I've seen him perform. The days when we have walked along the dusty roads together. The nights that we have shared under the stars. It was all building up to this. Knowing what we do about Peter's temperament, his heart must have been racing as he thought to himself, his robe was so dusty. But suddenly it shone with the dazzling white of the angels of heaven. His face glowed white, as only God's face can glow. Here, on a mountaintop, literally between heaven and earth, where the ether is thin and God meets men, conversing with Moses and Elijah as if they have all known each other forever. There can be no more finer thing for a man to see, and I have been privileged to see it all. Now, in response, I must do something. What can I do? Build them tabernacles. So why are we reading this gospel about the transfiguration on the last Sunday in Epiphany? We read it because a dramatic pivot in the church's year is about to take place. We are about to turn from Epiphany to Lent, and the contrast between the two seasons could not be greater. Epiphany is all about showing forth Christ's glory. We start it with a festival of lights, with wise men guided by a bright star that they have seen in the east. The culmination of Epiphany is Jesus' startling brilliance as he is transfigured on the mountaintop. Lent, on the other hand, is all about Christ's suffering. It's a season of darkness. Jesus comes down from his transfiguration on the top of Mount Hermon, and he sets his face towards Jerusalem, where he will be betrayed, where he will be mocked, where he will be scourged. The culmination of Lent will be his death on the cross. What Peter will now learn, and we will be led to learn it too, is that the cross represents a far greater glory than the transfiguration. If there is a tabernacle to be built, it is on Gethsemane, not the Mount of the Transfiguration. It is on Good Friday's cross that Jesus makes his dwelling with man. It's when he takes our suffering and our pain and our fears and our insecurities and our death on himself and carries them to his cross. There are so many images of Jesus that speak to people. Some look at the baby in the manger and wonder how God could become one of us. Some look to the gentle teacher and long for a world that would accept his instruction. Some focus on the healer who still brings hope and wholeness. Some see in Jesus the consummate human being, the perfect model of a life well lived, wise, patient, kind, forgiving, humble, obedient. Those are all images of Christ, but the image of Christ that surpasses all of those is the vision of the crucified Savior of the world. We gain the truest and the purest perspective of Jesus when we, like Peter, make the pivot from the Transfiguration to the cross, when we turn from Epiphany to Lent and Good Friday. Peter might have thought he had seen it all as he witnessed the Transfiguration, but how much more was there for him to see? Think for just 1 minute. What do you think was the most formative moment in Peter's life? Was it as he witnessed the Transfiguration and felt compelled to build a flimsy tabernacle? Or was it when he fled weeping into the dark night after he heard the cock crow and realized that he was so weak that he would betray his crucified Lord? Surely it was his moment of deepest shame that compelled him to become the leader of the apostles and the builder, not of a tabernacle, but of the church. The Transfiguration is a glimpse of glory. And if we are to grow as people of faith, we need glimpses of glory. But the real growth comes as God meets us in the struggles that we experience in Lent. When we face with honesty the fact that we could be much better people than we are. We could be more patient with others. We could work harder at our marriages. We could be more generous. We could be more patient. We could be more faithful. We could spend more time in prayer. We could be less immersed in the vain priorities of this world, less eager to build tabernacles that do not last, and more focused on laying up treasure in heaven. We can spend this last Sunday of Epiphany surrounded by glory. But on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we will be invited to the observance of a Holy Lent. And that is where we will discover the greatest glories. Amen.